It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bet.
It's a good man. Good man in the community. Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up for yourself. Make it enough. Sup, hot.
Tell him your
it's
name sent you. Sent
you. Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios.
It's
That Podcast.
Recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast. Featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley.
I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bet.
It's a good man. Good man in the community.
Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, It's That Podcast. Featuring Joe.
Welcome to It's That Podcast, episode 7. We're 7 deep, Jay.
7.
Man. Killing it over here. I am your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Give him hell, Jay.
Hello, friend.
We wanted to do some fact-checking from episode 6. We were talking about the EPL and NFL owners, and I want to make sure we get that cut out right away.
Yes.
Get it out of the way, because we've got so much to talk about today on this episode. So let's get that out of the way first. So Khan, the guy that owns the Jaguars.
Mr. Khan.
Owns Fulham.
Yes.
He does not own Man City or Man U or Arsenal or any other EPL team.
Fulham. And property in St. Charles, Illinois.
And also owns a auto parts manufacturer in Urbana.
Correct.
Okay, so that's one. We got that one out of the way.
Yes, we did.
The Glazier family, which owns the Buccaneers, also own Manchester United.
That's who owns Man U.
That's the one thing that we were talking about. And then number three is the biggest holder of Arsenal is Rams owner Stan Kroenke. That's how you pronounce his last name. So there you go.
Cranky bastard.
That's all out of the way. We clarified that. The internet's our friend. We know that, of course. Clearly, we're on the internet. We are the internet.
Calm exactly. down.
That's right. Sorry. Got a little carried away there. But anyway, so we just want to make the EPL, NFL thing corrected so we don't get shit from people about it. It's clarified. Let's move on. We digress.
On
to the sports-a-roo.
All right. Well, we talked baseball acquisitions last time, but we didn't get to the hometown teams.
Skipped it. We left a little teaser for you.
We did.
That's right. Got to leave us a little room for maneuverability.
Let's talk. I called to talk about the coup.
But that's not why you called.
Cubs rotation in spring.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
They're pitching well.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pitching well. Hendricks is going, I think, as we speak. Yep. They're starting right now. Quintana's look decent. I think Darvish has had 2 starts. He looks all right.
Yeah. I mean, jitters in the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
And Contreras, he crossed Contreras up a couple times, and that's going to happen early on.
Yep. And especially when your pitches move from the same spot like Darvish's does. So it's like, all right. But at the same point, the Cub are going to be fine. You shouldn't worry about the Cub.
No?
They're good. No, they're fine.
Okay. Give me the top 4 teams in baseball.
In all of baseball.
2 NL, 2 AL.
Cub.
Yeah.
In the National League. Dodgers.
Okay.
American League. Yankees. Got to be up there,
you
right?
You think?
Well, yeah. They're going to hit 7,000.
I thought you go Astros first on me.
And the Astros.
Okay.
But the Yankees are going to hit like 7,000 home runs.
They got to prove something to me first, though. Right?
Giancarlo's got to prove he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
And the injuries he's had have been fluke injuries. I don't think they've been necessarily a testament to his health. I think they've just like the broken leg, the broken jaw, got hit by a pitch, stuff like that.
Right.
It's been weird shit that he got hurt from.
Yeah.
But I think, they do have something to prove, I think, as a team. Their pitching is going to be Sonny Gray's coming back from his injury. He's like, we'll see. They do have something to prove. The Astros are really good, though.
Okay.
And, yeah, I think that's it, right? Astros, Yankees, Cubs, Dodgers.
I think that's
right. I left out the White Sox. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you didn't see my friend.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So, in addition to the Cubs rotation looking good, Ian Happ has still been absolutely ridiculous.
He's tearing it up. And he's got, I heard the lineup on the way down here for today's game, and Ian Happ not playing.
Okay.
Give him a day off.
That's fine.
Which is fine. You got to play. Other people need to play.
Well, and this is the question before. It was going to be a platoon with him and Almora Jr. I think that Hap is hitting lefties better this spring than he has in the past. Is that correct?
Yes, but I mean, it's he's no Albert Almora.
Right. But yeah. My question is Almora a 4A player? Is he the greatest defensive player that can't swing a stick?
That's a good question. In the outfield, I don't know, Jason Hayward might be up there. To be somewhat not funny anymore.
Right.
I think Ian Happ has earned his way to be an everyday player.
Okay.
But the good thing about Ian Happ, he plays second multiple base. Positions.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas Almora's a center fielder.
Pretty much.
And Zobrist, I mean, I don't know his contract situation off the top of my head. I got to imagine his contract isn't much longer.
My understanding is that they are going to sit him as much as possible.
Yeah.
And play him enough so when the playoffs come,
he's ready to go.
He's ready to go.
Right.
And that's a tough prescription right there. I mean,
if you're good in Major League Baseball, you will play.
Right.
Right? It's a matter of where. Yeah. Free and half, anyway.
Well, and that's been the Cubs' problem. They have all these guys. There's no place to put them.
Right.
And when we get to the Sox and we celebrate Eloy Jimenez, which we will.
Oh, yes, we will.
But there was no place for him. And they had to move him for pitching, and they did, and I still am happy about that move.
I think as a Cub fan, given your lineup and the way your team is set up, you'd rather have Jose Quintana than Eloy Jimenez.
So I guess
the
two big Cub questions I have for you is Almora best as a defensive replacement in late innings, or are he and Hap, not Ian Hap.
Correct.
Are they going to eat into Hayward's at-bats?
I think at some point you can't deny good players, like I just said. And not only that, but, I mean, you're paying Hayward a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if on this team,
yeah,
if you're not producing, you have to sit.
Right.
This team doesn't have second-place aspirations, right?
No.
They're not –
No.
They're in it to win it. They're in it to win the World Series.
Making the playoffs used to be the goal,
right?
As a fan of the Chicago Cubs,
if you just made the playoffs,
make it.
You were
wild card, whatever.
You were anointed.
I'm buying gear. I've got pennants.
Of course,
we're doing stuff,
right? But now
it's a little different.
Expectations are much higher. It's like the Hawks. I mean, not only are they bad now, they're real bad, real, real bad.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna. We're not gonna.
We'll get there eventually.
But for the Cubs, the best player has to play for them to win, right?
Yeah.
And Jason Hayward, as good as he is defensively, Albert Almora is just as good. Ian Happ, probably just as good. Maybe a little worse. But my point is, if you can put Almora in right, put Happ in center, or vice versa, or whatever you want to do.
That looks really good to me.
To get Happ's bat in the lineup.
Yeah.
And Almora's bat in the lineup.
Yeah.
Then you have to do it.
Right.
If you're not out here to kiss ass and make up for bad money,
mm-hmm.
or are you out here to win World Series? Those are the two things. And if you're out here to make up for bad money, then obviously you're gonna play Hayward. Like, that's gonna happen.
That doesn't seem to be Theo's style,
though. No, it does not. It doesn't ring, or Joe Maddon for that matter.
Well, Maddon loves loyalty. As you'll see, yes, with Zobrist, and which is one of the reasons they brought him over, mm-hmm. even though he was kind of at the decline when they got him.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was a multi-tool player and could play several positions made him a lot more attractive.
Yeah, and the Cubs are ready to win this year. The window is open. The window is wide open. The Dodgers are still going to be good. Now, to the Dodgers, I don't want to say detriment because that's the wrong way to put it. I mean, you had Cody Bellinger hitting everything out of the park last year.
Right.
I have serious reservations of him keeping that up.
And I don't want to get so excited about Ian Happ for the same reason.
Sure.
This is spring training.
Right.
I mean, he killed everything last
year. I mean, how many we can – there's thousands of players that have tore it up in spring training and sucked it in the season.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely true.
But Bellinger did it for a better part of a year.
He did. I got to give him credit. He did.
I don't think he's that guy, though. I think you're right.
I don't think so either. And Rich Hill?
That's that guy.
Trey Turner's that guy.
He is.
Unequivocally.
He needs to wear a kilt.
He's
that guy. He's
my guy. I may or may not have taken my first round pick in my fantasy draft to work. Actually, I did. I totally did. But anyway, I had the seventh pick. But anyway, I digress. The Cubs, if they're going to win another one, it's going to be this year. Right? because you're coming to the point like the Royals came on, where your young guys are going to just have to start getting paid,
right?
And you've already paying, you know, you're already paying Darvish, and you're already paying Hayward, unfortunately, and you're paying all these contracts, Lester,
right?
You're paying these contracts that are going to preclude you from going out and getting any pieces you may be missing. They're set up to win this year.
Yeah. No.
And if they don't, that's a major blow to the organization and I'm sure to Theo and Jed Hoyer.
And I agree with the Royals comp. I just don't think it's going to come as fast as that did.
And
Alex Gordon was slow to develop.
Yeah.
Eric Hosmer was slow to develop. Mike Moustakas was slow to develop.
And to be fair, the Cubs have way more money than the Royals do. The Ricketts are literally owning Wrigleyville. Like, not figuratively.
No.
We own this town. No. They're owning the hotel.
It's Yawkey Way.
Correct. Absolutely. 100%. So they're going to have the money to pay these guys. So maybe it won't be that big a deal. But there's a budget, and there's going to be pieces that they're going to be missing.
Right.
And if Schwarber doesn't pan out, you're going to need another outfielder. Because you traded the guy that was going to be the next Schwarber, possibly, right? In Jimenez. You don't need a catcher. First base looks good. And the infield as a whole looks pretty good. But these guys are all coming up on dough, right? Baez, Russell, Bryant, Rizzo. All these guys that helped you win a World Series a couple years ago are all going to have to get paid.
I'm going to give you my three biggest trade pieces right now. And as not a Cub fan, I need you to rate them for me.
Okay, I can do that.
Caratini.
Okay.
Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Schwarber.
What league are we trading with?
Schwarber's got to go to the American League.
Right.
Their best pitcher.
If we're talking American League.
Yeah.
Schwarber and. Here's the problem. Here's the problem I have with Kyle Schwarber.
Mm-hmm.
I'm parched. Hang on a second.
You know, and we talked about the physique of one Kevin White. The physique of Mr. Kyle Schwarber coming into camp.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
Shed the pounds.
Yeah. And
looking good.
Kyle Schwarber, there's a mystique about him because of his World Series run and his early season run before.
But Theo and Jed loved him way before
they did.
That.
They did. And they drafted him, and they drafted him knowing he wasn't going to play catcher.
Right.
I think his mystique is bigger than his actual ability.
You don't think shedding the pounds and getting a little quicker is going to, to do him?
I don't know.
What kind of left fielder is he going to be?
We'll find out.
Okay.
It can only help.
Right.
I'll say that.
Right.
Because when you blow out your knee, the less you weigh, the better.
Right.
Yeah, it could be. He could be really, really good. But the problem is...
There's a lot of could-bes
there. I wish there was a video here that you can see my facial expression. But the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's in the numbers. And for as much mystique as this guy has, his numbers aren't great. Now, granted, he did miss almost an entire season. And you can go a per at bat or whatever you want. But in my opinion, as a non-Cubs fan... I think he's underwhelmed a bit. I think all this hype of him and the actual numbers he's produced are not the same. They're not equal.
Well, I don't know that you need to be a Cub fan to like fall for the hype either. I mean, it just seems to be ingrained in me that Theo loves this guy.
Oh, for sure.
And he is gambling on him being the next big thing.
Right.
And I'm okay with that.
Like what?
I really am. I am.
I'm okay. But offensively, what is he? Right? Is he 280, 35, 110?
I would take that.
Or is he.
I would give my left nut for that.
Or is he 240, 38, 100? Right?
I would really like the average. I think he's got a better eye. I think he takes more pitches than to be 240.
Right.
But
if
you're giving me 38 and 100.
Right.
In a corner infield or a corner outfield?
Sure.
I'll take it.
Yeah. But the hype is, like if you listen to the hype as a non-Cubs fan, it's 300, 40, 130. Like that's the hype. That's the outside hype of it.
Yeah.
You're in it. I'm not. But I can tell you that's the outside look of it is everybody thinks this guy is the next Barry Bonds.
I don't see that.
I don't see it either. And then it comes down to, okay,
I think he's a nice player.
If you can trade him and get a team's number two starter,
yeah,
do you make that trade, right? Because right now the Cubs have Lester, Darvish, Quintana, Hendricks.
Right.
Chatwood.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Montgomery.
Who has looked good in the spring, but it's Chatwood. I don't know.
He's an injury. He's at risk.
Yeah.
Right? He's like Allen Robinson times two.
How many starts does he get?
Right. That's what it comes down to. Yeah. So to answer the question you originally asked, if to American League team, Schwarber's probably one. Caratini's probably two.
Okay.
Russell's three. Thing about Addison Russell is he's too streaky a hitter.
He was last year.
Those are like those kind that if he's good, those shortstops are few and far between.
Correct.
But when he's bad, there's hundreds of those shortstops in AAA. No,
his
AA in the minors.
His defense and the issue with his shoulder. Now,
yeah.
Is that, I mean,
I don't know.
That's widely known, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have the proper throwing motion because of the way his shoulder.
Right. And hypothetically, you go, okay, how about Schwarber and Russell four?
Okay.
Number one pitcher.
All right. That's a package.
To a team that needs that kind of thing, could absolutely happen. Or
Baez goes to short, the other two, Zobrist and Hap Platoon, et cetera.
Yeah, but the clock's ticking on Zobrist's career.
Oh, that's, I don't see him pass this year, do you?
No. I don't. And this year, like again, they're built to kind of win this year. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic between Theo trying to figure out where they are.
Right.
Right? Like, if it's Memorial Day and you're three games above 500, what do you do? If it's the end of June and you're four games above 500...
You're kind of talking about last year, Joe.
Right. I mean, right. And here's what you do. You trade for Jose Quintana.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not afraid.
And he took you to the playoffs.
I'm not afraid of the Pirates.
No one should be afraid of the Pirates.
I'm not afraid of the Cardinals at this point, although.
Afraid of their fans, maybe, but not the team. No.
But the Brewers look pretty damn good on paper.
I'll tell you what. If the Brewers had ended up with Arrieta.
I'll tell you what, Fasty.
If they had ended up with Arrieta. You guys would be in serious trouble. Serious trouble. That's fact. But they didn't, so you're not. So the Brewers are going to be about 500 team, probably. Maybe a little above.
All right.
They'll probably be second or third place. Maybe even second. I don't fear the Cardinals. What do the Cardinals have? Like, what possesses them to be
even I think
of catching the Cubs?
I think Matheny's a terrible manager. I want him to be there as long as
I mean, they got Marcell Ozuna, which is a serious upgrade. That guy can rake, and nobody knows about him because he plays for Florida.
He was on my fantasy team, too.
Mine, too. Not in our league, but in another league, yeah. I mean, fantasy baseball knows about him.
Right.
But, I mean, baseball.
No.
Kind of off the radar.
Correct.
I just don't think the Cardinals have enough. But they keep printing players. That's a problem.
It used to be that way. It's like Tommy who?
Tommy Pham?
What? What are you saying?
Who? Right, exactly. They keep now not so much. I mean, they're running out of printer paper or ink.
They must be.
Yeah.
But I mean, they still hold up Yachty. Yachty's getting old, y'all.
Oh my God. Don't get me started on that guy. Come on, man. Now you're just poking the bear.
All right, now we're moving on to the Sox. We're gonna make Joe happy.
Okay. But
talk to me about the Sox, Joe.
You gotta go back to Yadier Molina for a minute. I don't hate the guy, but there are Cardinals fans. Again, baseball's best fans on Twitter is the best thing. Somebody trolled some Cardinals fans and said, "Hey, would you trade Mike Trout for Yadier Molina?" And they go, "No, Yadi is a Cardinal and a Cardinal." That's the mentality for Yadier Molina.
It is.
But I digress. So let's talk about the Sox.
Which is surprising because he's not white. Anyway, the White Sox. Hello. Here we go.
Hello, friend. Yeah, he's not white at all. So about the White Sox, man. They're about 500 for spring training, which isn't super surprising. The issue this year, which is kind of, I don't know, so I'll call it necessarily concerning, injuries.
Yeah.
Lots of them. Now, to be fair, there was a collision, which caused two of them. So you kind of take that out of the equation.
Right.
But like, Eloy Jimenez has had a knee injury that he's been nursing. But
when he's been healthy?
Every time he goes to the plate,
bong!
Bomb.
Yeah.
Bomb City, man. I can't wait to see him in a White Sox uniform on a regular basis.
It just...
Oh, my God.
It looks good, it's, man. And Robert... It's
ridiculous. He tore his thumb ligament, so he's out 10 weeks. He's in a cast. This is the part I'm coming to, right?
Oh.
Like, all the upside is being kind of Jake Berger blowing his Achilles, you know. And poor Michael Kopech broke up with his girlfriend. It's kind of disconcerting to me right now. I'm a little verklempt. No, okay. No, I'm just kidding. Guy throws 95.
Well, I understand this, but...
Right. It'll be fine.
I was going to say, those problems versus Addison Russell's problems from last year?
Right.
I'll take them.
Exactly.
And, I'll set him up with someone.
And at this point, quite frankly, it doesn't really matter who's playing.
Kopech, Tinder.
It doesn't.
Look into it.
It doesn't matter. It just, not to quote Meatballs, but it just doesn't matter who's playing. It really doesn't. The Sox are going nowhere this season. They didn't plan on going anywhere this season. They're not going anywhere. Just not going to happen. They're looking at 2019, 2020.
All right. Well, then run down the Central for me.
Indians.
Okay.
And everybody else. I take that back. The Twins.
I
hate them with every fiber of my being. But I have to throw them proper love, I guess. They're going to be good.
But tell me this.
Yeah.
The Sox end up second behind the Tribe, beating out the Twins. That's a
dream scenario
that,
for me.
That is you buying gear.
I'd buy way more than I already own. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a big year. Catastrophic things have to happen to the Twins for that to happen. But yeah.
Okay.
And the Royals are going to be awful. Tigers are going to be... Everybody says the White Sox are the worst. Bullshit. No. Bullshit. The Tigers are going to be unbelievably garbage. Don't be surprised if they trade like Miggy. Get him out of there. There's no reason for
mid-season.
Him to be there. Yeah. Get some. If you can get
your tickets.
If you can get a prospect
yeah.
at this point, because he's 30, he's in his late 30s.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If you can get a prospect for him,
yeah.
deal him. Get rid of him because there's no reason for him to be there. None. None. The team's garbage.
Now, where did Fulmer go?
He's still there.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right.
Are you talking about Carson Fulmer or Philip Fulmer? Or Phil Fulmer, former coach of the Tennessee football team?
I was talking about Michael Fulmer.
Of course. He's still there.
Okay.
Carson Fulmer, bad. Real bad. Like, everybody says, oh, he should be part of the rotation. Have you seen him pitch in the spring? His ERA is like 16 or something. Yeah, but he's working on things. No bullshit. You got to go out and get people out. Even if you're working on stuff, you still got to get people out. That still has to be a thing. And Carson Fulmer has looked awful. And to be fair, I'm going to throw him a little bit of leeway in this.
Mm-hmm.
Sox kind of fucked with him because they brought him up and put him in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Which he should never have done that.
Okay.
He should be had been a starter the entire time.
From the jump.
And they saw things when he was down in Charlotte that they thought maybe he was ready. So you throw him in the bullpen for a little bit and then make him a starter. Because that's right. What they did with Chris Sale. Same
yeah.
thing. Right?
Yeah.
No, didn't work out that way. This guy should have never, ever come out of the bullpen ever for the White Sox.
Now, whose call is that? Was that Cooper?
That's no. That's probably Rick Hahn's call.
You think?
Right? Yeah, he's the guy responsible for that shit.
Well, I mean, he's in charge of putting the pieces together.
Or whoever, well, before it was Buddy Bell, was the director of player development. Now it's Chris Getz, of all people, believe it or not, former White Sox 25th guy. And that shows the loyalty of Reinsdorf, right?
Oh.
You know, so.
Crumbs.
Know. Yeah, exactly.
Showed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the White Sox are in the right direction. Don't hear me ranting
arrow up.
About them.
Guaranteed right field. That's arrow right. up.
Arrow going the wrong way. The Sox are going to be fine. They're going to be fine. I'm not worried about them at all. They're bad this year. They're bad this year. I don't really care. This is the blank canvas to which hopefully a masterpiece is drawn on.
All right.
That's about the best way I can
think. That's pretty eloquent, Joe, and I don't think I'll step on that.
No,
that's fine. Let's go to the NHL. I normally like to stop and talk to division leaders and playoff picture with you. And
they're not good.
Yeah. I mean, you normally like to tell me how Vegas is going to keep it rolling.
They are. They still are.
No, I know. I'm just
killing it. I think they lost last night, but yeah, I mean. And the New Jersey Devils cannot be stopped, clearly.
Okay.
I'm saying that half-joking. Look, the NHL this year has been kind of weird. Like, the Preds already have 100 points, and they're still 3 weeks left in the season, something like that. And there's talk, I heard this the other day, of the Hawks.
I love it when you get like this.
The Hawks bringing back Corey Crawford this year.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they should play him.
No.
Why are you doing that?
No.
Because he's already concussed. He's already, whatever injury, alleged upper body injury, which I think we all can read into that as a concussion. What good is there to gain by him playing a single minute the rest of this season?
Nothing that I can see.
Right.
But I will tell you this. I love hockey injuries. It's either below the waist or above the waist.
And what if it's the waist?
That's all you get.
What if it's the waist? What if you have a waist injury?
That's Belichick's dream. What the fuck?
Exactly. He's got a waist injury.
He's got a waist injury.
But it's a matter of, look, this team has looked old for a while now this year. They've looked really old and slow.
Yeah.
I've seen them in person a lot over the last couple of weeks. And they've been bad. Just the worst puck control I've ever seen from a Q coach team on the Hawks.
Okay.
Cannot get out of their own end if their life depends on it. The defensemen cannot handle the puck anymore, whether that's Seabrook or Keith being old or what have you. The new defensemen aren't that good, what have you. This team is one of the worst puck-handling teams I think Q has ever coached in Chicago. That's saying something. There's a lot of teams he's coached. Most good. This team's garbage in terms of handling the puck. And if you can't handle the puck in your own end, get it out, force it down the ice, and put the pressure on the other end, you're done. The defensive team are throwing out 3-4 checkers on them because they know that they get happy hands or whatever you want to call it in their own zone, and they can't get the puck out. So the visiting team is putting in 2 and 3 people in the zone when the Hawks have the puck and pressuring their defensemen, their young defensemen, all the time. And they just keep turning the puck over, turning the puck over. That's not the way you win. You can't win hockey games that way. You have to get the puck out of the zone. Now, to the other team's credit, they recognize that. And they're, like I said, they're putting in 3-4 checkers at a time. They put 2 deep and want the blue line to pressure the puck coming out of the zone. That happens. Now, it's commonplace. And Q and his people, and I understand there's only 3 weeks left in the season, whatever it is, but they have to figure it out in the offseason. They have to do something because the defensemen you have are old, or they're either too old or they're too young. They're either too inexperienced and they get happy hands, or they're too old in that they're too slow. And the problem is you have all this money invested in Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith. More so Brent Seabrook. Now, Duncan Keith hasn't exactly been lighting it up either. He's certainly not going to win the Norris Trophy, I'll tell you that for free. But Brent Seabrook has been hot, flaming garbage, especially in his own end. That has to, he either needs to get better or he needs to go. And the problem is he's making his cap is like $6.5 million. You can't deal that combination.
No.
That's not, you can't deal that.
No, it's not like the NBA where you can take somebody else's garbage for your garbage and make it work.
I mean, theoretically they could, but I mean, but nobody.
No.
No. Any team that wants to win a championship is not going to have Brent Seabrook playing for them.
And as a casual fan, Joe,
I've never been in a press box.
Hey, Fred.
GM or coaching? What, I mean, for next year, looking ahead, what's going to fix this? Is Q going to be able to turn it around with what he currently has?
No.
Okay.
That's a Bowman. It's up to Bowman to make it better.
Okay.
And again, it comes back to the cap and Red Wings fans complained about this when the cap was instituted, right? Because they had to lose all these people that they had that they won multiple championships with.
Octopus sales went way down.
Awfully down, right? They're bad now. The Red Wings are so bad. And to be honest with you, not all that upset about it. but the Hawks, look, Stan Bowman's going to pull a miracle out. Now, obviously, he's been the GM in the entire cap era for the NHL, right?
Correct.
For most of it. And Dale Talon set the tone, but most of it was Bowman at this point. He made deals after they won the first cup. He made deals after they won the second cup. He made deals after they won the third cup to put them in a position to win again.
Yeah.
I can't 100% fault Stan Bowman.
Okay.
I think the biggest culprit in this whole thing is Father Time. Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
These guys have fallen off so far, so quick. That's not something as a GM you can really anticipate, right?
Right.
To go back to baseball for a minute, Jermaine Dye, his last season, he was having an MVP, literally, first half of the season. He had 20 bombs, like 70 ribs, was hitting like 290, and then disappeared. Like literally to the point, career over. Yeah. He just faded. He faded away.
Yeah.
Is it better to burn out or fade away, right? And he faded away poorly. The Hawks have to do, they have to do, clearly have to do something. Like that's a dumb thing to say. What that something is a whole other ballpark because unfortunately, the salary cap's in place. That's the way it is. You're paying Kane 10.5. You're paying Taze 10.5. You're paying Seabrook 6.5. You're paying Keith 6.5. You're paying Crawford 6.5. There's only so much room that you can do to improve.
Mm-hmm.
To Bowman's credit, he got what he could get for the guys that he could get it for in the trade deadline, right? Traded Hartman, got a number one pick somehow. I don't know how the fuck that happened, right? And he traded Tommy Wingles. Those were the two trades he made and got at least something back. He got something tangible, picks back.
He brought Saad back to town,
Joe. He did, and it has backfired terribly. Not that Saad sucked, but it has not led to a winning team, and that's the whole point. He brought Sharp back, too. Sharp's a fourth line player at best at this point in his career, which is sad to say and it's sad to admit. He won't be here next year.
If you're a Blackhawk, Joe, do you bring your wife around the?
No,
no,
no.
Okay.
And if you're a Chicago weather person, probably shouldn't go there either. anyway,
we digress.
No, we digress. The Hawks are going to make improvements. There's going to be deadweight cut from this team, as much as Stan can. Right?
Right.
You're stuck with a bunch of people, unfortunately. You just got to make the best of it. So you have to get rid of this dead weight. And to a certain point, he's going to have to rely on some young players, which is something I don't think Q hates it.
And that bothers me.
Hates it.
That bothers me.
It bothers me too. Because he has to have some. Look, you don't win as many games as he has in his career. He's second in the NHL in wins.
Right.
You don't win that many games by being a bad coach.
No.
Right? So it's not, he's doing all he can. But you watch what I watched the last three times I've gone to the United Center and watched the defense just struggle to get it out of their zone.
But tell me this.
Get it past the blue line. Like it's frustrating.
If I'm a kid and I make a mistake and I get in Q's doghouse,
yeah.
It's almost impossible to get out of that.
It's not impossible. But you better start upping your game. Seabrook was a healthy scratch this year.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
Yeah, it was. And that's
unheard of. It didn't help. It didn't really help.
No, but I mean, I'm getting a ticket back to Rockford before I'm going to see the ice again.
If you're a youngster. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yes. 100%. 100%. And I don't like it any more than any other Hawks fan likes it. But the stark reality is this team's not good. If they continue on this path next year, they're not going to be good next year because the other teams in the conference are all improving and the Hawks are regressing. That's not good for your playoff aspirations.
Regressing and getting older.
Right.
Not a thing.
You better turn around quicker, sooner than later.
Right.
Or you're fucked. And again, getting Hartman, getting a number one pick for Ryan Hartman was a good deal by Stan Bowman.
Okay.
I don't fault him for that at all. But at the same point, there's more to do, clearly.
You just wish you could get rid of like 9 Johnny Oduyas and...
Yes. I have no love for that dude.
Hey, no.
And you keep poking the bear.
I do.
It makes for a good podcast, though.
Anyway, okay, yeah. So hockey has completely given me agita. Let's look at the NBA.
Yeah.
It's
tough to look at the Bull, though, really.
I mean, the last time I checked the dumpster, the Knicks were...
Did you get burned at all? Are you all right?
Oh, it was flaming.
I can see your eyebrows are just growing back in, so...
The Knicks, 24 wins, Bulls, 23, mm-hmm. Brooklyn, 21, yep. Orlando, 20,
yep.
And Atlanta, 20,
yep.
And that's your East.
Yep.
The West brings you the find team of the Dallas Maverick at 22 wins. Then you get Sack.
But hey, they're not tanking though.
Ramento at 21.
Dallas not tanking.
Phoenix at 19, and you and I have both said this in the past. I don't know that Memphis can win another game. They may
not win.
They may be at 18, yeah, and a legit 18.
Yeah.
I mean, they are trying as hard as they can.
Yeah. We chatted about this two episodes ago in episode 5, but there are teams that are bad because they're bad, and there are teams that are bad because they're trying to be bad, right?
Correct.
Memphis is bad. And their GM obviously put them in this position. With the roster they have, they're bad. They're just bad, real bad. The Bulls are trying to be bad.
Well, would you look at most folks in the East and think that? I mean, maybe other than Orlando and Atlanta.
I mean, in the
East, I don't think they have anything that they can do.
I mean, in the East, as long as LeBron's on the Cavs, mm-hmm, that's going to be it, right? That's going to be it.
No, but I mean,
Boston's good. You know, in the East, it's so hard. In the West, it's even harder.
Right, but what I was getting at is the first like three teams that legitimately look like they're trying to get ping pong balls.
Yeah.
I mean, Bulls, Brooklyn,
the Dallas. Knicks. Dallas.
Right.
I mean, Cuban has told, oh, I don't want anybody tanking, but clearly he is, right? Like he got fined for it, $600,000. Bulls got a slap on the wrist saying, quit that shit.
Yeah, no more healthy city.
Right, and I don't understand why did no other team get this, too?
Maybe
right?
It wasn't so blatant for other teams.
Maybe, I mean, but...
When Cameron Payne's getting off the minutes that he's getting... And,
I know. There was a guy that started yesterday. I saw on Twitter. A guy that started yesterday that I literally... I don't know who he is. I've never seen him. Not to make you... You took a little swig of a beverage there, but I didn't want to make you do that. But
no.
I have no clue who this guy. I've never seen him play. I don't know his name.
Guy gets off the L. They gave him a jersey.
Yeah. There was a D League game. Somebody told me a story because we have a mixed bunch at work, right? So we have a guy that works for me that does. He's on the scoring crew for the Bulls, and he scores. He does work for the Windy City Bulls in the G League. And he does a bunch of college games, like on the stat crew, right?
When did that change?
This year when Gatorade said we want to be the G League.
The developmental league
got
the rights purchased from Gatorade.
Yep.
And they are now the G League.
Correct. They're the G League.
That's terrible.
Of course it is. But I digress. So there was a preseason Windy City Bulls game where they played the Wisconsin Herd is what they're called. That's a thing.
Any ladies on that team?
They're the Bucks. No, they're the Bucks. They're the Bucks farm team.
Just checking.
Get it? Bucks herd. It kind of all fits together.
No, I just was thinking of fat ladies in Wisconsin.
Hello. So all of them. And anyway, so I digress. So he says like, there's some guy that worked his way into the locker room and the coach said, you come in or he went like on the bench. Who are you? I just showed up and whatever. He's like, all right, get out there. I don't care. Let's go.
That's outstanding.
I know.
Showed up, kind of worked his way into a uniform.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yes, exactly what happened. Like, I don't know who you are, but go. Maybe the GM signed him and didn't tell, whatever. But there was, so there's been random people in the G League that showed up.
Now, rate this for me. The G League
versus
the CBA.
Oh, G League.
Much better?
Yeah.
Okay, so these are cats that either played 4 years in college or just didn't get...
The G League is people that are technically on NBA rosters.
Really?
Yeah, the way it works is this. In the NBA, you have a 15-man roster.
Okay.
Right? You have the roughly 10 people you play in the game. You have three or so inactives and then two people that are kind of in limbo.
Right. Wearing a suit.
Yeah. Those people that are playing the G League, that are under contract to the Bulls, count towards the Bulls roster.
Okay.
Yeah. So now there are journeyman players that play down there. Yes, of course. But what the NBA is trying to do, and I hope they do it, I got to be 100% honest, is trying to make it a true minor league system like baseball. So every NBA team has a G League team, and that G League team is full of prospects, high school kids that are coming up, college kids, whatever. I want that to happen more than life itself.
I'm sorry, Joe. I thought that the NBA had a league called the NCAA.
Yeah.
That was their free minor league.
See, here's the thing.
Yeah.
They don't make any money from the NCAA.
Ah.
Yeah. See, they don't make any money.
Okay.
So then they can hire players to play, learn the system that the pros are using, and bypass the NCAA completely.
That's the way it looks.
Yeah.
A lot more kids hitting the NBA at 19.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. For sure. And not only that, there's rumor, and it's just rumor and innuendo, that, and this is the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard of college sports, right? This could be, there's a lot of dumb things about college sports. This could be a top four.
Did I say it?
No.
Okay, good.
They're talking about allowing kids to transfer from school to school without sitting out.
Division one.
Yes. So 1 year you could be going to Kansas.
Holy crap.
And Villanova could come along with a better offer. Like, let's say you're the seventh guy on Kansas's bench, right? Villanova comes along. You play, come for us, you can start. So the next year, that guy can go to Villanova. And it's going to be the same for all college sports, right? So if you're a third string running back at Alabama, if you want to go play at Auburn the next year and be the starter, they can do that. That's what the NCAA is proposing.
This is ridiculous.
It is, because the way it works now, for those of you who don't know, you can transfer schools. You have to sit out a year.
Or.
To stop.
Or.
That kind of rampant thing, right?
Randy Moss.
Yeah.
You go to the Herd.
Correct.
Or.
Herdzone.com. Just. But yes, exactly. Right.
I mean.
You could have some guy that's a junior, let's say, at Marshall is a great example. And he catches 1,500 yards, 10 tuts, whatever. And Nick Saban goes, hey, buddy, I think you should come play at Alabama. Okay. Next year, he's on Alabama. Right? This is the dumbest thing, arguably, the NCAA has ever thought of.
I mean, basketball itself is considered a sewer in the NCAA.
Yeah. Well, college football's not much better.
Right? No, I mean, neither of them really are.
Correct.
But this is going to make it so much worse.
Infinitely worse.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Can you imagine trying to lure, like you just said, a seventh man away or a second or third string running back when normally you would go there, you would do your time, you'd be a freshman, you'd be a sophomore, you start as a junior and a senior, and then you're out.
And I'll say this. Under no circumstances should a kid be allowed or should a kid have to stay at a school where the coach that recruited him leaves.
Oh.
That is criminal.
Agreed.
That I 100% back if a coach leaves a school and a recruit doesn't want to go there anymore, or any player that this guy recruited doesn't want to go there anymore, they should be allowed to leave. I 100% agree with that.
Especially when you're as greasy as being at Northwestern and then go to Colorado. Okay.
Just kidding.
Greasy.
But that's what I'm talking. That's like,
I mean,
that I agree with.
I'm with that too.
You should be able, if the coach that recruited you leaves, you should be allowed to leave.
Okay, so is
and not even necessarily to follow the coach to the next town. I'm just saying you should.
Right.
The commitment that coach made to you is broken by the fact that he left.
Absolutely. Yeah. And think about it. I mean,
come 100% here, behind that.
This is the scheme that I run. You're going to be perfect in it.
Yep.
I mean, you could come in being a star, and then the next guy comes in and goes, "Oh, we're not doing that."
Nope. Yeah. I agree.
You go sit over there.
100%.
So. The only thing I can imagine is the NCAA is wanting to do this in lieu of paying kids.
The last thing they want to do is pay kids.
That's absolutely the last thing.
Because then you're admitting they're not student athletes.
But by doing this, you're kind of doing the same
thing. Yeah, for sure.
So, you're saying they're commodities that can be moved from school to school.
Yeah. And let me,
to make money
on
their name and talent.
And sell their jerseys and all that. And here's
but maybe you didn't hear, buddy. College is $40,000 I'm going to pay for my kid to go. You get a free education. That's your payment.
Right. I will. I can counter that argument in five notes.
Jerry. Please.
not maybe not five notes, but look, a student on a regular scholarship, an academic scholarship, right?
Right.
Let's say you get 30 grand to go to U of I, whatever. That person can go out and work a job, right?
While they're doing
it. They can work at Jimmy John's.
Sure.
Or
in the residence hall like I did.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
To make money.
Yeah.
On top of, so they can actually, you know, be an adult, go to movies, occasionally go out to dinner. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Athletes can't do that. They cannot do that. They can't go work at Jimmy John's. They can't go bounce at a bar. Or they're not supposed to anyway, by rule, right? They're not allowed to do that kind of thing. So should they be punished by this? Now, I understand they're getting an education, but so are people on academic scholarship. They can go work a job and make extra money. Football players can't. Basketball players can't. They can't go work somewhere.
But
it's
again,
not how it works.
I mean, again, man. I mean, there's ways around anything. There's the hand.
Of course.
There's the handshake deal you get from the booster.
Of course.
There is the job set up for my uncle from Muskegon.
Or hey, you come to my school. I'll hire your dad as a coach. That happens all the fucking time, especially in basketball. Right, all the time.
Don't go Peoria on me, Joe.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
No, I mean, no, for real.
Yeah.
But, and then we all act like we're up in arms and in surprise.
Right.
You know, Reggie Bush's mom got a house.
Oh, my, what?
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, my God.
You know, and that's like the far end of the spectrum. Yeah. The other one is, oh, wait, this kid signed stuff and they sold it and he got money from that?
Right.
Really? He signed his own name
to
something that he owned. Somebody else was making money on it and he didn't get any of that?
Wait, the FBI has an NCAA coach on tape talking about paying a kid $100,000?
Yeah. But
hello, Arizona. What?
No, no, no. And that and that happened right before the tournament.
Yes.
But is anybody going to be sanctioned until maybe maybe next year?
I mean, theoretically.
You know, maybe you're going to, you know, something bad's going to happen to
you. I have Arizona in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
They shouldn't even be on my bracket.
No.
Right?
There's probably eight or nine teams that
Michigan State's another one
are going to be busted.
For sure.
Next year.
Yeah.
And it's just so hypocritical because, oh, we can't
it's
do it before March.
Hypocritical.
We can't do it before March Madness.
Right.
CBS is going to lose all this money.
Right.
Are you kidding me? There's people's jobs at stake. There's all this. Right. There's that.
What integrity? Ethics? Anything?
None.
No.
It's just shady.
And then what do we teach
it's
the
all
kids?
Fucking shady.
What do we teach the kids?
Correct. What do you exactly? It's all shady.
It's all about the kids, Chicago.
That's right, Chicago.
Which will lead us to our last topic of this episode.
All right. Oh. Well, no, wait.
We got more?
Oh, we got more, baby.
Okay, sorry.
I wanted to go into NBA championship with you.
Championship.
Toronto, Drake's team, Boston. Who's coming out of the East?
Cavs. I'll put my mind on LeBron every time.
Cavs are coming out of the East.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
They are a 4 seed right now?
That doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I don't think it matters a lick.
Okay.
Until somebody beats him.
Okay.
How do you bet against LeBron in the East? You can't, in my opinion. And I don't care what seed they are. I mean, whatever. Kevin Love broke his hand, blah, 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 whatever. It's all consequential. The league wants him to be in the finals. The team wants him to be in the finals. They're good enough to make the finals in the East. Whether they win, that's another story, because the West is some pretty good teams. Golden State's really good. But in the East, it's so tallest midget, right?
Right.
Isn't it?
No, I mean.
And I'll take LeBron every time.
So 1-2 is Toronto, Boston. Joe goes 4 seed Cleveland.
Yeah, for sure.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
In the West, we've got Houston 1, Golden State 2. Uh-huh. Feeling.
Well, here, Klay Thompson's hurt right now. He just got hurt.
All right.
So I'm not. I'll lean towards Houston.
Okay.
How do you? And I should also preface this by saying their GM used to work for Stats, but anyway.
That is clear transparency, my friend.
That is. I'm trying to be transparent here,
right?
Daryl Morley. But anyway, Houston. They're both 1 and 1A. I mean, Houston's really good. James Harden is just ridiculous.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah. He's a carry a team on his back kind of guy.
Yeah.
Whereas Golden State is more of a team. Not that KD can't.
Right.
But I just think Golden State's more of a team-oriented thing. With Klay Thompson out for a while, he's going to have to come back. He'll be back before the playoffs-ish, or right around the playoffs probably. So I don't know. I'm going to lean towards Houston.
So it was interesting what you said about Harden being the carry-on-the-back type of guy.
Yeah.
Him leaving OKC, a bigger deal than KD leaving OKC?
No.
You don't think so?
No, KD had such a deep root base in that mm-hmm. town, like charities and stuff like that.
Sure.
That losing him was a big deal. That was a big deal.
No, I got you. I mean, that's face of the franchise type guy.
Yeah.
But, sure. I mean, as the actual team goes.
I don't know. OKC's been pretty decent.
Not good.
You know, Russell Westbrook is... It came down probably to egos at that point.
That's what I think, too.
And they could get the most back for Durant, so that's what they did.
And Russ is the bomb. I don't want to...
Russell Westbrook's really good,
too. Yeah.
Yeah, when they lost Durant, that was a big deal. And they may not have recovered from that, and they may not recover from that. Because Durant's a very special player, and Houston has certainly capitalized on that, right? They've capitalized on him not being around and won games. So I think Harden is going to lead that team. I think it's going to be Houston-Cleveland in the final.
Okay.
Now, who's going to win?
Wow, that's big. You just went there.
Yeah.
Houston-Cleveland
final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going with.
All right. Before we leave the NBA,
yes.
Talk to me about San Antonio. We joked about it earlier that I can't remember the last time they weren't in the playoffs.
Right. Unfortunately, I think they have the same kind of syndrome the Hawks have, right? Like, they just, they have a couple good guys that they're paying decent money for, and then a bunch of guys, just
right?
And they need to figure out a way to get better.
Okay.
Because they've been entrenched in this, like, it's really kind of a really good comparison. Because the Hawks were good for this long. They won 3 championships. Spurs were really good for this long. They won whatever championships they won. It's just a matter of replicating the early part of that on the late part of that.
Right.
So they have to figure out a way to get better. They need to make some trades or something has to happen there, just like with the Hawks.
I mean, think about it. Once Duncan got off the plane, didn't worry about San Antonio until he retired.
I believe NFL TG.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
So... I mean, Pop's got trouble because he hates on Trump, which plays well with the team.
Depends on.
I don't think it plays well in this state, which is okay. I don't, you know.
Right. It doesn't play well in the state.
I don't think that's going to bother.
I don't think that makes a lick of difference. Yeah. Right. No. Yeah.
My concern is Kawhi.
Yes. And Kawhi, I mean, you could pair Kawhi Leonard to Patrick Kane, right? To make an analogy.
Sure.
Young.
Mm-hmm.
Great player.
Right.
Puts up a lot of points. But the problem is he has no one around him, really. Right?
So does he stick it out and believe in the organization? Or does he say, trade me to somebody that's going to win next year?
B.
You think B?
Yeah.
You think he's out?
I think so.
I think San Antonio's done that.
San Antonio's... Look, they're not winning with him. So if you can flip him
right
to whatever team and get either young players back for him or draft picks back for him, you certainly have to consider it, right? I mean, again, to use a Hawks analogy, everybody says you can't trade Kane or Taze, right?
Right.
Well, you could.
It depends on what you get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If somebody comes back with 2 ones, 2 twos, and a whatever.
Right.
Then you have to... No one's untradeable.
I mean, absolutely.
If the Oilers can trade Wayne Gretzky, no one is untradeable.
No, I get that. And I mean, using hockey as well.
Yeah.
I'm only going to trade Patrick Kane for the next Patrick Kane.
Correct.
right. or the promise of that
yes.
in draft picks.
Yes.
So.
Right. Like, I'm not going to trade Jonathan Toews unless I'm getting, in my point, at some point, better than Jonathan Toews back.
Right.
That may not be now, today, but tomorrow, he better be ready to go.
Okay. Well, I mean, the whole reason this popped in my head was I was thinking Tony Parker and Kawhi kind of went out around the same time with an injury. Mm-hmm. And Parker's older.
Much older.
And made it back quicker.
I know.
And
maybe it wasn't as bad an injury.
That's what I'm saying.
Or maybe there's just a heart issue involved.
See,
and when I say heart issue, I don't mean a physical heart issue.
You're not going Hank Gathers on me.
No, I'm not. Definitely not going Hank Gathers on me. I mean more Derrick Rose.
Right. Well played.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the physically,
desire.
I'm, right. The Tony Parker only has so many sunsets left mm-hmm. in the NBA, right?
Right.
For him, he wants to get back as soon as possible, as quickly as possible, because he knows his games are numbered.
And it's his brand. It right. really is. I mean, the Spurs this are his is brand, it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right. And he has to win. He has to. He wants to go out in a blaze of glory. Burn out or fade away, right? He wants to burn out. He doesn't want to fade away. And more power to him. And bless him for coming back in the whole nine yards. But I think in the end, Kawhi Leonard just needs to step his game up, right? Like, he needs to not be Derrick Rose.
You're calling his heart into question, Joe.
Well, prove me wrong.
I don't know the cat that well. Yeah. I can't. I mean, I can't defend him. I wish I could.
I don't necessarily either, but the same point is if Tony Parker's coming back from an injury quicker than you.
Right.
Tony Parker's like 90. Right?
In NBA years.
Right.
He's 90.
Yeah. Yeah. When I speak of these things, when I say dead or 90, it's in sports terms. It's like Parker's like 90. He shouldn't be coming back sooner than you.
Unless there's another problem.
Of course.
And from everything I've read, Popovich is fine with him. Kawhi's fine with Pop.
I mean,
it's all good. Yeah. We're all kumbaya, but something's
got to change
rotten,
there.
Man.
Something's got to change there, and they got to figure it out sooner than later.
All right.
All right. I guess we can wrap it up, man. We're done talking. This has been episode 7 of It's That Podcast. Again, I'm your co-host, Joel Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley.
Oh, it was so nice to talk to you folks today.
It's so much fun. Hit us up, Twitter, at Triple Lindy's, at J, the letter, Sleet Shirley. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/itsthatpod. And again, you already listened to this, but go to our website, itsthatpodcast.com. You will love all of it. So we thank you all for listening, and we hope you enjoyed episode 7. We'll see you next time on It's That Podcast.